request, the next two guys request, and then, and our policy says you have to confer with the chair, and the chair is in Bali.
Right.
So maybe just an omnibus statement that...
Everybody go to Bali?
No, he meant Jupiter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the event that the chair is not available, that the vice chair can fulfill the duties.
And I assume that those types of matters which are expeditiously treated are rather clear-cut in nature, not...
Yeah. Right.
And going to set any form of policy.
How about if I just add E to Section 1, form requirements, and that will be... in all instances, vice chair can the chair or vice chair can make decisions as put forth in the policies and procedures.
I don't think that logically falls under section 1, which is about what has to be in the request for opinion. You may just want to add a number 8 at the end,
right,
as a freestanding paragraph.
Yeah, that's true. All right, that's fine. I'll do it.
All right. Are there any other good ideas? If not, let's have a motion to adopt this draft so that we do have a working document to work with.
I would make the following motion: to adopt this draft as an interim policy and procedure containing the changes we've discussed and subject to future change as needed.
May I ask one question before we vote? That doesn't obviously preclude us as individually from discussing our concerns about any particular matter with you, does it?
With me, no. Obviously, not, we can't communicate amongst commissioners, but I'm kind of like a town manager. I mean, I'm your staff.
Right.
So
I just want to make sure that these...
No.
Okay, that's fine.
The reason I say the interim, I think all of us are going to go home and read these and probably come up with some additional questions that maybe
we can make changes, but at least we have a working document.
Okay, accept it. My intent was to get started on these advisory letters as soon as possible because they seem to be what's coming in right now.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
All right. Then probably moving second, are there any other statements or questions? If not, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
As far as meeting is concerned, I think the June 5th might be a little early because if we're going to do a workshop...
Publication?
Pardon me?
Publication? Notice?
Publication and notice for one, because it'll be next weekend. And number two, I need to be sure I have adequate time to develop the policy, all the policies and procedures, and the bylaws. Because at the next meeting, that would be appropriate to bring that.
How about the 11th?
The 11th is a... Right. No, I'm out of time. That day and Monday. Reunion.
Yeah. When's our next meeting?
That's what we're talking about now.
The regular meeting?
We have no other meeting scheduled, as far as I know.
If we meet on the 17th or 18th, that will give me an opportunity. One of the things I wanted to bring before the commission was the issue of persons with contracts with the county and contracts with others, but not public officials or employees.
Let's make it 17th or working now.
17th? All
right. I may be out of town, but
I might be out of town too. I'm going to see now, but we have 5 members, so all we need is 3 for a quorum. And we can't just always wait until we have everybody here, and that's why we have the other designees and things so that we can still carry out this.
Certainly, if I'm not physically here, I can be available by phone that day. Thursday by phone?
Is that the 17th Thursday?
17th.
Or the 18th? Same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. How about, still next week? Now, how about the beginning of the week trial? Sometime in there, but sometime before the 11th.
Yeah, I'm available. I'm just not available the first week of June, but from the 7th, second week I am.
Okay. You out the 11th?
No, I'm okay for the 11th.
Who's out for the 11th? That's two of
them. I'm out for the 11th.
I'm out for the 11th. For the
three. Well, how about the 9th? That would give me that.
When?
The 9th.
Wednesday the 9th.
Wednesday the 9th.
That's fine.
What time?
Morning?
I cannot do early morning.
1:30?
1:30 work?
Mm-hmm. Wednesday the 9th. I'm out from the 9th to the rest of that week.
Now, will that be at
you can offer here the next week?
No. But okay. We have 1, 2, 3. Is Dr. Fiore going to be back?
I don't know. She's available.
We'll be back on the
7th.
Could move it to the 8th. Which works for me?
Either
can. Okay, so why don't we make it the 8th? I think in these early meetings that the more commissioners are present at the meetings, the better, because we are determining policies and procedures and bylaws.
And maybe we can figure out, not now, but what day of the month works best for everyone. So future going forward, we can try to clear.
Yeah, we know far enough in advance, we knew better than to make any plans.
So we're making it for the 8th, and the location?
1:30. How about the new offices off of Vista? We have adequate space there, and we may want to move our meetings.
When does the staff person start?
The 8th.
He has so much space out there, you can come on the 7th and just spend the night.
No cops, though. Not in our budget.
What time is that on June the 8th?
Okay. I'm sorry, did you say 8:30? No, 1:30.
And how long do you anticipate that?
Well, I will have policies and procedures, a draft, and bylaws in your hands, hopefully the Friday before. So you can look those over and how long we spend on them. I also intend to have a representative from the facilities and the real estate department to talk about a person who they contract as advisors who also have contracts with other entities that have contracts with the county. So,
what, in the way of testimony? Or
I wouldn't call it testimony because it's not really a hearing, but they'll be available, they'll make a statement and as to why the process is how it is, and then they'll be open for questions from the commission as to, well, you know, and I've given some direction as well to Ms. Wolf, who's very knowledgeable about why historically knowledgeable about why things work the way they do with facilities and with real estate. And I said, well, you need to do your due diligence, and so she will hopefully have some information about who else would be available, or is this the only game in town type of thing. So,
you said there'll probably be some testimony at that time?
There would be a statement and then questions from the committee. Okay.
If we're going to do that, I'd prefer to see if we couldn't have that first meeting here.
Okay.
Tammy, is this room available? Okay. Might be a little bit easier for everybody to come because it sounds like it's going to be a big issue, so I'd rather.
And I think that's why I want to bring it in detail to the commission.
And you use the word workshop because this is sort of like an exchange of information sort of format. So we're making presentation stuff as a point of view.
Well, the workshop part would be on the policy and procedure and perhaps on some of the interpretation of the code itself. This issue that I want the commission to be aware of, in my view, is not a violation of the code because a contract person, if somebody has a contract with the county, is not an employee or an official. So as far as jurisdiction of the code of ethics, that party is not, the jurisdiction of this commission doesn't extend to that party, and they're not in violation. However, this commission, we can ask for an advisory opinion, so this commission may want to just stop there or have more to offer in that way, in the way of advice. And if that's not appropriate, please let me know, because...
Okay, is it possible that maybe like when Dr. Fiore's out of town and they need a full complement, that those people who are interested can give us a written opinion or do a telephonic thing?
You're talking about commissioners?
Yeah,
they're not present.
Mm-hmm. Commissioners.
I think that I'll have to check. I'll make sure that we have telephonic capability at our plant. Here, I think there is. Both there's audio and video. You can have video telephonic.
But you do need a quorum present.
Present.
Yeah.
And telephonic presence is not present.
Right. You need a quorum physically in the room under the sunshine law. But other people can appear telephonically.
As long as we have a quorum, other people can participate
right.
telephonically.
But three of them have to be
in the room.
In
okay.
Room.
Thank you.
And that's it for the executive director, unless you have any questions of me.
Good work.
All right. I have a
yes, sir.
Anything that you need from us? Are you having any problems going forward? What do you need to make sure that you're getting going and everything's on track?
Patience. And from both this commission and the public, because Rome isn't built in a day, and we need to make sure we do this right. Every day there's a new challenge, and I'm not making that. I don't mean it that way. It's a good challenge because we're creating something here, hopefully, that will have the type of credibility and outreach to the community and transparency that's going to make it effective. So, there's much to do, and we're going to be taking the steps necessary to do it. Results may, whatever people conceive of as results from this commission, will be measured in terms of months, not days.
Do you anticipate we'll be able to start having hearings within the next 60 days?
Well, we have no complaints yet, so I'm sure they'll start coming in, but I anticipate that we certainly can, within the next 60 days, have the capacity for hearings. I have put into the budget a position for an investigator / analyst / paralegal, if such a thing exists. I think probably an ex-FBI agent who is an attorney would probably fit that bill, but that will be instrumental in terms of the hearing, in terms of the investigative power, ability of the executive director. So, and that's going to take between, that's going to be an RFP process. So RFP process. So it'll be a month and a half probably before we have somebody on board.
Who handles the public relations and marketing or public announcements and things for our group? Do we still have use of Ms. Gray? Or?
Yes. We do. And
I was thinking at such time as we were ready to begin hearings, we should make some kind of a public declaration of the fact that we are up and running now and there's some general information.
Well, is there something on the website or some public announcement that, let's say, every third Tuesday of every month, the Commission Ethics will hold public hearings and any complaints that may be out there?
Okay.
Just let the public know when we're meeting and where we're meeting and what we're discussing.
I'd like to have in the paper. A lot of us still read the paper because we don't know how to get on the website, so...
We're not
I saw you with an iPad the other day, Judge Rogers, so... I saw you with an iPad the other day, so you're not fooling us.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if Dennis is still... and Andy. Every Monday, at least the Post, I'm not sure about the Sentinel, prints the quote-unquote county meeting schedule for the week.
Okay.
We certainly can continue to advertise all of your meetings on our normal county website, which they then pick up and typically print. For that's why you have to have a little bit of advance read.
And I will be meeting with Channel 20. It's one of the things I'm doing in the background. Number one, I eventually want to set up an actual show, some kind of talk program that we can set up on an ethics issue basis. Public service announcements, posters, getting the word out on the hotline for both the Inspector General and for the Commission on Ethics. That, I believe, is when we'll start seeing results from the public. But at this point, I believe it's inappropriate to start doing press releases and until we're all in place and ready to go forward.
What is your in terms of public education, or just with regard to the subject of the culture of ethics in the community, your own speaking calendar? I know that Mr. Fresh had an opportunity to do a speaking engagement. What does that look like to you?
I don't have my calendar here because I just got this iPhone. I had a dinosaur, and I have absolutely no idea how to use it.
Okay,
but I will.
But you anticipate you are. You, I think you
I have several have... several speaking engagements that are already on the calendar in June. There's going to be an outreach. As a matter of fact, it's one of the projects that I have. My intern Ben Evans is working up a list of civic organizations that we can contact as an outreach, and even if they're not subject to the jurisdiction of the code, certainly civic groups may want me to go out and speak, or possibly one of the commissioners to speak on the issue of ethics in the community.
On that subject, Mr. Chair, I would say, to the extent that our executive director is becomes in too much demand at some point, that we individually may take on that responsibility.
I think we should all go to our strong areas where we can sell the program. And as I said, I think we need to sell it. I don't think people are just going to buy it. Everybody's satisfied with the status quo. We just like to talk about it. But we need to get out and hawk the program and make sure that we can convince the people to want it. Which brings us to another question. If we could have maybe the person in the county staff most knowledgeable about what's happening with the legislation, give us a brief update as to where we're standing.
Judge Rogers, I'd like to comment real quickly on the speaking issue. I took a pass on that speaking engagement because I was concerned there'd be some questions about our adjudicatory capacity. And any time there's questions about our adjudicatory capacity, I think we as commissioners,
we have to pass on those.
We have to pass on those. So, I gave those to Mr. Johnson is what I did. As long as I don't have a problem going on talking to folks, as long as you just
do these cases or matters
or what we would do in a certain situation, all we can say.
Well, I think it all should come through Mr. Johnson's office before we do it. I don't run around.
Right. And that's what I understood, but I just wanted the record to be clear.
Mm-hmm. I did not articulate it well.
All right, sir. Mm-hmm. Chair, under staff comments, we did want to bring you up to speed on what's been done up to now with regards to the charter amendment that would ask the voters if they wanted to take the elements of the ordinances that you are involved with and embed them into the county charter, and B, extend the scope beyond the county to the municipality. And I would invite David to join me at the table. We have had several meetings with the quote stakeholders, which would be the county staff and citizens in the cities. And we had one yesterday, which Al was at, as well as Ms. Beckler. And I believe that we're making... You can move that out of the way. Then. Substantial progress. There are, as you would expect, some sticking points that the various entities are still discussing. But I do believe that there's nothing that we've seen that's going to be an insurmountable something that we couldn't overcome. The time frame is as follows. The the language for a ballot question in November has to be to the Supervisor of Elections office by August 20, noon August 20. So that means working backwards from there, our group will meet again. The various folks are looking at drafts and making recommendations and comments, and point persons have been assigned to from the various entities. We will be meeting again on June the 9th, the day after you probably will have your meeting. Here in this room at 5:30, it'll be a public meeting, and everyone's welcome to come. If we still have issues that need to be resolved after that, there's enough time to meet again, possibly even as much as two times, hopefully not. Then we will meet formally with the League of Cities on June the 23rd to present what is hopefully the final package, and then the what we would call the first reading. Is that what you're talking about? Permission to advertise would be on June 29 in front of the Board of County Commissioners. And at that point, hopefully the whole package, the actual ballot language, the proposed changes to the charter, will all be tied up in one nice, neat package. And then the final reading would be on July the 20th. So those would be the public hearings in front of the Board of County Commissioners. And once approved on July the 20th, the language goes on the ballot on the November 2nd to ask the question.
And does anybody in the organization or county entity or anybody do any campaign for the passage of it, or have not done?
Well, the county, I believe, Lenny, there's a prohibition against spending
you can educate, but you can't advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there may be other entities in the community who want to advocate.
Mm-hmm. So does the county have any plans to educate?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I concur with the summary that Brad made regarding the meeting between the county and the League of Cities with others being involved. The primary issues are, of course, where the money is coming from, that is, the county versus the cities versus the other participants. And it's really not versus, because it will come from all of them, but I guess there's an issue of how much from each sector. The breadth of the ordinance was discussed, and by breadth I mean those organizations which will be mandated to be subject to the ordinance or to the charter amendment. And it appears that with the cooperation of the League of Cities, that cities will be included in the ballot for the charter amendment as being subject to the ordinance if they vote in their municipalities to be subject to the ordinance, or vote in favor, of the charter amendment. If they vote in favor of the charter amendment by majority in that city, they'll become subject to it. And I think those are the primary substantive issues. There are also some practical issues, and that has to do with how wordy the charter amendment can be, and still be adequately summarized in 75 words, which is the ballot requirement. So we'll be working on that. There are three versions of the charter amendment currently in play. One is generated by the county. Another is the county's version edited by the League of Cities. And another, completely independent of those two, is the one generated by the Palm Beach County Ethics Initiative. We had a good discussion on those three the other at our meeting. And hopefully by the next meeting on the 9th, we'll have a version that will be close to final.
Where will the money come from?
Well, initially, one of the areas that's under discussion, and obviously your feedback as individuals as well as the Commission on Ethics is always helpful. The charter amendment will, at a minimum, require that the office be sufficiently funded. The issue then becomes what is sufficient funding, and the importance of not of providing a dedicated stream of funding that is not cannot be undermined by a sitting county commission is very important. And that's probably the area of most difficulty in language drafting, because currently, as I'm sure most of you know, the ordinance requires a 0.25% assessment on each county contract, and that, of course, would apply to others who are mandated to be participants, if that's in the charter amendment. But even that likely will not generate enough money to run the Office of Inspector General. And, in fact, in Dade County, we heard at our recent meeting that the 0.25% contractual assessment produces most of the money necessary to run the office, but the other two parts of money to run that office come from a portion of county general revenue funding, which has varied between 8% and 15%, and also recoveries of money from places where the Inspector General has determined money was to be returned to the county.
And how is that worked out? On a percentage basis, or something, the recovery money?
Well, I don't know that number. And that would be interesting. That maybe is the subject of another meeting with the Dade County Inspector General, Mr. Mazzella. But it's been substantial, we understand, but the substantial hasn't been dressed to be a specific amount.
New legislation doesn't deal in specifics like that, so that the municipalities in Palm Beach County would know how much of a financial burden it would be on them. Is that correct?
That's a fair statement, yes. They can figure, if it's the 0.25% of contracts, it's an easy number to determine. It's whatever their contracts are and going forward. But
with recovery money, is there some formula for that?
There's another issue also, which we're still grappling amongst ourselves, and that is we have 38 municipalities in the county. Some of them are very, very, very small. If they are covered by the services of not only the Ethics Commission but the Inspector General, they may generate next to nothing in terms of contracts. So we want to have some funding flexibility so that when the interlocal agreements are entered into, it's not limited exclusively to the 0.25% in the cases where the 0.25% may be nothing or close to nothing. So we want to have a little bit of flexibility. So in wordsmithing, that's where the art comes in trying to make sure that the offices are adequately and appropriately funded, but that there's not a limitation that basically ties your hands in how you accomplish that funding.
And I would suggest that it doesn't depend upon the size of the municipality. Sometimes the abuse in rates in the municipalities that are small or huge because of lack of sophistication on their part.
Right.
And perhaps the percentage basis should be the best proceed formula for it.
It's going to be kind of difficult going. I think we all recognize that we are charting new ground. And because of that, there is some reluctance to be too inflexible in the charter language, because we don't want to pass a charter amendment in 2010 and need to amend it substantially in 2012. What would be better is to have a flexible, what I think we're going to conclude, or what we're coming to the conclusion of, is it would be better to create a flexible charter amendment, focus on the implementation ordinances, and then when it's been running a few years and we're successfully running, then maybe go back to the charter again and refine what the elements are there. But that takes some trust, and we're still in the process of building trust.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're back to commission comments, and I think
Mr. Farage, do we have any more comments for you?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Everson?
No, sir.
If I may, Mr. Chair, I believe you had asked, and I think Mr. Berger may have a legislative update regarding matters that affect this commission or the ordinances. So,
Well, there are two. I believe one, and this is happening. I think actually today one of the bills was signed into law. A second one hasn't been, but might be. The first one enables the county by ordinance to increase penalties and fines to the equivalent of a first-degree misdemeanor. The ordinances today were at its ceiling for punishment for the civil penalties that you all could mete out as an enforcement board, and that was the equivalent of a second-degree misdemeanor. The second, which is hasn't been signed yet, but it does enable local governments with local ethics systems in place to have certain exceptions from the public records law and the Sunshine Law up to a probable cause determination. Essentially the same sort of treatment that the State Code of Ethics has.
That has not been signed yet,
and I'm not a good prognosticator of what our government might do, the governor might do.